That's a dangerous thing to say to an evangelist if you need to take longer. No, I'm going to stick to my time. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, James, for your welcome. It's a very real privilege to be with you, dear folks, again. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your prayers for us in our ministry and so on. And we're seeing quite a bit of the folks here at Wake Isaiah with our lead conferences that are happening twice a year. But another one coming up for elders and prospective elders on the 13th of October. And we're looking forward to that. Our speakers are going to be Jürgen Schultz and Lloyd Opel. So we're excited about that day that's coming up in the will of the Lord. And we're praying that God will meet with us in a very powerful way. So thank you. Let's turn to the Word of God this morning. And I want to read with you from the prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah's prophecy. I've been thinking a lot about some of the things Isaiah has to say to us. And we're going to look at in chapter 26 today, which gives us one of the several great promises in Isaiah's prophecy. I'll leave you to look, read it sometime on your own and see what some of these wonderful promises are. But we're going to look at one of them today. And maybe I should just say before we read, just so that we get this in our minds, that when we read the prophecy like Isaiah, he's one of the, what they call, the major prophets in the Old Testament. And some of the things that are a lot, everything that Isaiah talks about is really momentous. It is huge, really. And he's talking mainly to the people of Israel, and God's dealings with them, and not just God's dealings with them in little bits or pockets of their history, but God's dealings with Israel way on into the future. Some of the prophecies that Isaiah gives us have yet to be fulfilled. Some of them have been fulfilled, praise God, and that's one of the reasons we can be have such confidence in our Bible, because of fulfilled prophecy. And that so much of the Bible is taken up with prophecy. And when you see God doing exactly what he said he will do, it is a very encouraging thing to our faith. But Isaiah talks about things yet to happen in the future, in the what we call the millennial kingdom that we read about in the book of Revelation. And some of the things that are going to be happening and God's dealings with Israel even at that time. Now people, I'm saying that to you because it's very easy for us to sit in our little churches and we can get very insular in our thinking and in our attitudes. And we can very easily lose sight of the big picture. Do you know what I'm saying? We can easily lose sight of the big picture. God is bigger than everything that's going on in our world today. I don't know if you feel encouraged by that. I speak to many of my brothers and sisters these days, and we talk about things happening in the news, and everybody's saying, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Do you know? Guys, we need to be encouraged, because our God is bigger than all of that. The nations of the world are in his hands, amen? And everything that is going on is part of his plan, and it's all being worked out. And when we come to Isaiah's prophecy, and we read some of these tremendous things, I just want to encourage you to keep that idea in your mind as we come to the Word of God this morning, because that's very important. If we don't keep that in mind, then we miss so much. Because when we come down to what I will call the minutiae, if you like, to the little bits and pieces, then with the big picture in mind, the little bits take on a whole new meaning. And when we come to this promise that we're going to read in a moment or two, it's good for us to remember that although Isaiah talks about huge issues regarding the history of the nation of Israel and so on, at the same time, Isaiah's prophecy is amazingly contemporary. It's amazingly practical for us, ourselves, today. So wherever we're at in our lives, these promises we can take from God and we can apply them to ourselves. It's a wonderful concept that the God of the creator of the world, and we'll talk a bit more about that in a moment, has the details of your life and mine in mind. So let's read from Isaiah chapter 26, and I'm just going to read six verses. Verse 1, in that day, now that's a phrase that comes several times in Isaiah's prophecy. In chapter 12, it comes twice as an introduction to each half of the chapter, and it's the beginning of a bit of a song of worship and praise. So he's looking forward, and he's saying, in that day, and he's looking to that great day, the millennial kingdom, when the Messiah will reign, and God's going to bless Israel in an amazing way. But he says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind that you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He casts it to the dust. The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. Now we're going to stop there. We'll refer to other bits as we go along. But the verses we've read, particularly at verse 3, there are many people here today would in their hearts, I'm sure, when they read these words, would be saying, Amen. In the King James Version, it says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And although that's all going to work out in an amazing way in the history of Israel, as I was saying, it's amazingly applicable for you and me this morning. And so we're going to look at this. But just by way of introduction to it all, let me say this. When we think of God, the God who gives us this promise, the God who says he will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him, this God, let's remind ourselves, because the very idea of God is so much under attack in our world today. And the thought occurred to me just a couple of weeks ago as I was thinking about this. The mistake that we make in our modern world, or our postmodern world, or whatever, is this, that we need to learn, let me put it this way, we need to learn not to think of God in the light of science, but to think of science in the light of God. We got it all wrong. We got it all back to front. And when we think of science in the light of God, you find that the two do not contradict one another in any way. We find that God is the creator of this vast universe, everything that science is telling us, because you remember, the scientists of our world today, they're just discovering stuff that's been there all the time. They're not discovering anything new, it's been there all the time. And the God that we're talking about today is the God, the Almighty, who created it all. Amen? The Creator who is behind all that our world and our universe is. So we think of everything there in the light of God. That is why, you know, I've heard this so many times over the years. People will say to me, why is it that the majority of scientists are atheists? And the answer is, for the same reason that the majority of non-scientists are atheists. Because it's got nothing to do with these things. Many of our leading scientists in our world today are godly men and women who, through simple faith in the Lord Jesus, are trusting him as their Savior, and they're seeing and believing God and proving him in their lives every day. Many of the greatest minds in our world today know and love God through trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. That's very important for us to see. And the reason it's important to see, dear people, is because the God of the Bible is completely trustworthy. because of who he is, he's completely trustworthy. He will never go back on his promises. In fact, it is impossible, the Bible tells us, it's impossible because of who he is, it's impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. He cannot break his word because of who he is. God is what we might call, or somebody else has in fact called, the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality. You remember in the book of Exodus when God said to Moses, I want you to take the people of Israel and take them out of slavery in Egypt and lead them over the Red Sea and into the promised land and so on. And Moses was a bit daunted by the challenge, and he said to God, who will I tell them has sent me? And the Lord says, you'll tell them that I am has sent you. Not I was or I will be, but I am. I am that I am, God said. I've always been and I always will be. That is the God we're talking about. The eternal God, the unchanging God, the almighty God, the incomparable God, the one who says, I am the Lord and there is no other. The one who says, I am the Lord and I will not give my glory to another. Dear friends, today, this God is our God. Hallelujah. And this is the God we trust, and he is totally and absolutely trustworthy. Now, as I've been thinking about coming here today, I've been saying, Lord, please give me your heart for these people. Give me your heart for the people, Lord. Love these people through me. Do you know what I'm saying? Because people, we need to understand the creator of the world. Now, let me go backtrack just a little bit. We read in Isaiah about his relationship with Israel, his earthly people. That's another story again. But God's relationship with his people. And even though they grieved him, they broke his word, they turned their backs on him, etc., etc., all through the prophecies of the scripture, God's heart longed for these people. God's heart longed for them. Longed that they would turn away from their sin and that they would turn back to their Creator. Longed that they would come to know him and renew their relationship with him. God's heart longed for that. And people, we look at our world today and the thing that's happened, they're in the state that we're in today because we've turned our back upon God. There is no other reason for it. That we're in a lost world, a broken world, because we've turned our back upon God. And until we rectify that problem, nothing's ever going to change. In fact, the Bible tells us we're looking forward to the coming again of the Lord Jesus, and it's going to keep getting worse until he comes back again. We've turned our back upon him. But God, let me say this to you, my friends, today. No matter where you're at in your life, I want you to know, I want to remind you, God's heart longs for you. Amen? He longs for you. There is nothing that God wants more than anything like fellowship, communion with those he has created. He created you in his image. The whole reason for our being in existence is to know him. And God's heart breaks for the world. God's heart breaks for men and women. I love the way somebody else put it. I just read this the other day. If God had a refrigerator, you would be on it. Amen? And if God had a wallet, your photograph would be in it because he longs for fellowship with you. You got somebody stuck on your fridge at home, and every time you see their picture, you long that God would bless them. Every time God, and he thinks about you and me all the time, and God longs for you. He longs to bless your life. So when we keep all that in mind and we come down to this wonderful promise that we've read today, the first thing I want to say about it is this. To notice the promise, you will keep him in perfect peace. That is quite a promise. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, if you chew on that for a minute, dear friends, you're saying to yourself, if you're anything like me, what is perfect peace? How do you know you've got it? You know, what are we talking about here? I mean, perfect peace? And you're sitting there, maybe you're saying, Clayton, you have no idea what's going on in my life right now. And my life and perfect peace just do not go together. I can understand that. But this is God's promise. You, God, the Almighty, the God we've been talking about today, the one who longs for you to bless you, he's saying he will keep you in perfect peace. Now, if you were to read that promise in the Hebrew language, I don't know Hebrew or anything, so I'm not bragging right now. Don't get over-impressed, all right? I'm just, what I've read about this is that it's written in the original language, you will keep him in peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect wellness, as God intended you should be. Amen? That's what it's saying. And in chapter 48 of the prophecy, and verse number 18, it says, God's again, his heart's longing for his people. I am the Lord your God, verse 17, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. God's saying, if only you had listened to me, things would have been so different. People, take it to heart today. Let's take that on board. Oh, if only you had listened to me, the Lord's saying. You ever said that to your kids? If only you had listened to me. You ever thought it in your, if you just listened. I'm sure my dad said it about me. If he had just listened to me, you could have saved yourself a lot of trouble. God's saying, if you'd just listened to me, you would have been blessed beyond measure. The Lord Jesus said a similar thing in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, and in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, and it was Jesus stood up that great day of the feast, and he said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was saying to them, when in a day to come, when he had gone to the cross and he had died and risen again and ascended back to glory, he was going to give this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to come and live in people, live inside people, and be there like a well of water springing up to eternal life. That's quite a statement. Now, that's what it means. That's what we're talking about when we talk about perfect peace. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God on the inside of you and me, the very life of God living inside you. Now, please, hear me. Just think about that for a minute. Just think about it. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, if you know and love God through the Lord Jesus being your personal Savior, this is true of you. He, the Almighty God we've just been talking about, wants to come and reside by his Spirit on the inside of you. Now that makes the concept of perfect peace, to my mind, to take on a whole new meaning. You see, it's not something I manufacture. It's not something I work up every day. It's a gift of God's grace. And so the key, the secret of the whole thing experientially is the word you, God, you will keep him in perfect peace. He is the source. He is the source. You know, you hear all kinds of, all kinds of theories and so on about how we can have peace of mind and all that kind of stuff today, and you can go away and you meditate and you do this kind of this, that, or the other thing, and so on, and you'll have a much more peaceful countenance and peaceful attitude, etc., etc. People, listen to me. The only way to get real peace is to receive it from Almighty God. There is no other source of real peace other than God himself. It's not self-made. In John chapter 14, I'd just like to look at a couple of verses there with you. In John chapter 14, this is the passage where Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, etc., etc. And he says down at verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Jesus talked about giving us peace, he's saying it's his own peace. Now, everywhere Jesus went, he took peace with him, amen? Whether he was among a crowd, or he was facing demon-possessed people, or he was facing death itself, or he was on a huge storm on the lake, wherever Jesus was, he took peace with him. This same Jesus is saying to you and me today, my peace I'm giving to you. And in the context of John 14, he's talking about the Holy Spirit again. And another wonderful part of that chapter is Jesus said in verse 20 of John 14, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's amazing. Jesus says, I'm in the Father. And you are in me, and I am in you. It couldn't be any better than that. That's why he says, it's my peace I give to you because of this relationship you have with me by the grace of God. So, dear friends, today, this is how it can be yours and mine experientially. I love this expression in the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Now hear me, wherever you're at today, I was reminding some folk yesterday, the Psalm number 13, three times over, the psalmist says, how long? How long, O Lord? Have you ever been in that situation in your life? The problems you're facing. How long, O Lord? How much longer? How much longer? And then halfway through the psalm, he says, he chooses to rejoice in God's salvation. People, hear me now. Wherever you're at today, I want you to know, he says, he will keep you in perfect peace. The thing is, we must simply yield everything we are and have to him as Lord and allow him to live there right at that moment. When the doubts come, when the questions come, when the fears come, Lord, right now I surrender to you again. Lord, live in your peace in me. I praise you, Lord. I just choose to praise you. Now, let's move on quickly, because this is where it gets really practical. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. That's the key now. whose mind is stayed on you. What does that mean? Again, in the Hebrew language, it means whose mind is firmly established in you. It's at rest there. Remember, Moses said to the Lord, he said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us any further. God's word to Moses was, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Dear friend, today, wherever you're at, right now, he is there. Amen? He is there. He is available for us to open our hearts and our minds to him and say, Lord, I receive your rest right now by faith. I worship you, Lord. I thank you. It's a beautiful concept. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me and I'll give you rest. You who are laboring and are heavy laden with all the burdens and that are there, come to me. I'll give you rest. It's something we need to learn to cultivate, dear friends. We need to learn to cultivate. One of the greatest challenges we need to face as believers in the Lord Jesus these days is to examine our hearts. Am I really cultivating the presence of God in my life so that I'm listening to what he would say to me every day through his word? Am I cultivating his presence? Am I deepening my relationship with him? I've got just by way of illustration right now, but I've got a tremendous burden from the Lord for Vancouver Island. I'm longing for revival to come to this island. And God's been laying on my heart recently the whole idea of intercession, interceding, that God would give me his heart for Vancouver Island, and that God by his Spirit would touch this place, touch the churches here. Dear friends, this morning, can I say to you, the last thing Wakeside Chapel needs right now is a new program. What Wakeside Chapel needs right now is for all of us to get on our faces before God and plead with God, Lord, we're listening to you. We're going to operate in your rest, in your peace. We're not going to get worked up about it all. We're going to allow you to speak to us, Lord. What is your will? What is the next step for this church? What are you saying to us right now? Amen? What are you saying, Lord? Never mind anybody else. What are you saying? And as we seek the Lord in humility, God's going to reveal himself. He's going to reveal his will. He's going to lead us, give us, show us, and he'll keep us in perfect peace. Amen? Because we're moving in harmony with his Spirit. We're cultivating his presence. We're living, as Psalm 91 says, under the shadow of the Almighty. So, dear friends, today, the final thing is this. The promise is you will keep him in perfect peace. The precept, whose mind is stayed on you. And the practice, because he trusts in you. That's the key. Moment by moment, an attitude of simple, childlike trust. Taking him at his word. Resting in what he says. Again, the Hebrew word for trusts is the word botak. To learn, to lean on. I always remember when I was 15 years of age, I had my appendix removed. And I was in the Falkirk Royal Infirmary in Scotland, 15 years of age, And I just thought I had the operation over with, and I saw other guys who had their operations, and they would go to the washroom, and men would have a shave and a wash and stuff like that. So I thought, well, I'm going to do it too. And I got up out of bed and went. But the trouble is, I got up too quickly. And I always remember when I was standing there at the sink in the men's room, and everything started to go, and I was just ready to go, you know what I mean? And I remember grabbing the guy next to me, and I leaned on him. Amen? I'll never forget that. I leaned on the guy. People, because we're trusting, we're leaning. Helplessly, we're leaning on him. We're abandoning ourselves to him. It's a very real thing, dear friends, careless abandonment to God. Cast your burden on the Lord, Psalm 55. It means roll it on him. God, here's this problem again. Lord, I'm just rolling it on you. And when it says, cast your burden on the Lord, again in the Hebrew language, it means that which he has given you. And whether it's the challenges of this church to face or the challenges in your life today, he's given it to you. He's allowed it in your life that you would roll it back on him. I want you to know, folks, I'm rejoicing in this today. This is real. Amen. This is real. When things go on and on and on and there's no let up, but he is the same. Hallelujah. And as we lean on him, we'll experience that his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, my strength made perfect in weakness. Totally significant. Totally sufficient. Now, people, I say it again as I conclude. We're talking about perfect peace. We're talking about the kind of thing that Paul spoke about when he said, be anxious for nothing. Now, you've heard me say this before. That's one of the ridiculous verses in the Bible. You know, be anxious for nothing? No way. That's what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, as we lean on him, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell the Lord all about it. What's the result? The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you today, dear friends, that when we're experiencing this promise in our lives, the peace that God gives, it just blows your mind. You know it's not you that's producing it. Do you see what I'm saying? You know that this is the work of the Holy Spirit who's producing the peace of God in your heart and in your experience. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, give thanks for everything. If you're anything like me, you've watered that down over the years and you've said, well, I can give thanks in everything. That's not what it says. It says for everything. Giving God thanks for everything. And it's in the context of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Go on being filled. Allow him to fill you. Then you can say, Lord, that thing that goes on and on and on in my life, Lord, it's just dawned on me. Thank you for allowing it. Thank you. Because you've shown me things about myself I could never have learned in any other way. And you've shown me things about yourself. And you've brought me into peace that passes all understanding. Amen? You will keep us, he will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed, anchored on him because we're trusting him. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, with all our hearts, we thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for these amazing words, Lord, that we've talked about today. And God, if they mean anything, if you are who you are and we know you are, O God, the Almighty, the one who is completely trustworthy, we bow before you just now, Father. Please forgive us for our lack of trust. Please forgive us for our insistence on taking things into our own hands. Please, Lord, forgive us for our disobedience, for grieving your Spirit, Lord. You are longing for us. You're longing to bless us. God, help us to come like little children today and just cling to you, lean on you, trust you totally. Father, thank you for making it possible. Thank you for our precious Lord Jesus. Oh, how we thank you for him who loved us, died for us, rose again from the dead, lives for us at God's right hand right now, praying for us, and at the same time lives within us by your Spirit. We worship you, Father. Make these things very real to us this week, we pray. And give us the joy of introducing other people to the peace of God that passes all understanding through the Lord Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I'm here to pray with anybody who wants to pray over some of the things I've been saying, or to ask any questions or whatever. It'd be a privilege to minister to you in Jesus' name. But thank you for listening. God bless you, folks.